sexy nerds of the Nerd Imperium. Welcome to another week's episode of the Currently Nerdy Podcast. We are your inner conclave of nerdom. My name is Diz, and I am your pop culture and sports nerd. Ali?
I am Ollie, your classic nerd.
And I'm V, I'm your comic book nerd.
Oh, wow.
Guys, I want to apologize for our mysterious absence of last week.
You fucked up.
Yeah, I was done. I was abducted by aliens.
Yep.
They took me to a foreign land.
They probed you.
They probed me. Orally, anally.
Can I just point out that you said foreign land as if by aliens you meant illegal aliens or something?
No.
What do you mean by foreign land?
Foreign land. They took me to the planet.
Outer space.
Yeah, the planet Zutru.
So they didn't take you to a foreign land. They took you to a foreign planet.
I met L. Ron Hubbard there. He taught me the beauty of Scientology.
He's been hanging out there for a while.
He's been chilling. I met Tom Cruise. He told me that stress causes headaches and that there's a book that I could read and it'll help me with it.
Tom Cruise?
Yeah, Tom Cruise and L. Ron Hubbard are on the same planet. But no, in reality, I had the flu. It's been
yeah, the flus.
Yeah, it's been going around. I probably got it from some illegal alien. If Donald Trump is right, they bring diseases, they bring drugs, rapists, killers, and he also brought out a family affected by illegal immigrants today to make a political show about it. But we'll talk about that some other
time.
Wow,
yeah. Not even subtle.
No, fuck him. I don't know, but I'm excited, guys.
Welcome back.
Thank you. I'm excited to be back. It was also a big week for me. This is the start of WrestleMania season.
Oh, I thought you said this is the start of Ramadan.
No, that's in May. I know this.
You were not just gone for a week. You were dying.
It was pretty bad, dude.
Yeah.
I had a leadership summit with all the directors of my company.
You had to leave.
I had to run out of the ballroom because I was going to puke in front of all of them.
It's better out of that hole than the other.
Yeah, it ran out and just did it somewhere else. But, oh, better out of that hole. I thought you said out of that hall than the other. I was like, what other hall are you talking about?
Hole.
Oh, yeah.
Orifice.
Oh, yeah.
Speaking of orifices.
Okay, yeah, I didn't shit myself.
From very deadly in the waters.
Yeah. They should call Ramadan Muslim Mania.
I wouldn't be opposed to that idea. I might actually fast to call it that.
I reject this.
But yeah, no, it's the start of WrestleMania season. The Royal Rumble came.
Don't care.
The road to you point at the sign.
I have zero interest in this.
And then I heard some big news last week from my Lord and Savior Vince McMahon.
You mean the man who was single-handedly responsible for the rise of Donald Trump?
Stop blaming him. You blame everyone for Trump.
Not wrong, am I?
Although he's directly connected with Trump.
This is true.
His daughter works as his like.
No, his wife.
His wife.
His
wife's on the cabinet.
Yeah. I thought it was his daughter.
No, his daughter works for WWE.
Yeah.
What's his daughter's name?
Stephanie.
I thought it was Stephanie McMahon.
Linda McMahon.
Linda.
Oh, okay.
Linda's the small business,
whatever,
cabinet person.
Same shit.
Yeah. No, one's his daughter and one's his wife. It's kind of.
These distinctions matter very little to Trump.
Oh.
To Vince, too. He's got some incest angles over there.
Ew.
But.
That's also pretty true.
Vince McMahon has decided, after a nearly 19-year absence and a few $100 million went down the drain, that he should bring back the XFL.
The what?
Extreme Football League. The XFL.
First of all, there's two things. There's only two things that I can say to this. First and foremost, I don't know why Vince McMahon isn't dead yet.
Yeah.
That's the first. I thought he was dead. He's way too old, way too drugged out, way too stressed to be alive still.
Uh-huh.
He needs to be dead.
Yeah.
Second of all, I didn't care about WWE, and I have heard of WWE.
Yeah.
I care even less of, what was it?
The XFL.
XFL. And I haven't even heard of XFL.
Listen, man.
Ever.
It's the Extreme Football League, all right?
So
their ball is black and red.
Did you do it? Is the ball on fire?
No.
Then it's not extreme.
They have.
The only way to make this extreme is to set the ball on fire and see who gets caught up on fire.
See the razor blades coming out of
it. If I was in charge of an Extreme Football League, the only way I would call it extreme is if they had a ball of fire and they were, part of the thrill was avoiding getting set on fire yourself.
What if it was like a traditional football game, but the ball was on fire, but anyone who could receive the ball had kerosene-soaked gloves?
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
I'm saying that you had to not only catch the ball, but you also have to manage not to set yourself on fire. That's the only way you could call something extreme football.
It would be like passing in basketball, the way they would throw that ball. Because they would have to, like, pass it to the next person.
Hot potato. That
yeah, then start to, like, try to, like, get the flame off their gloves.
I'm just saying that if you're going to call something extreme NFL and it doesn't have anything on fire, it's a bit of false advertisement.
Seriously, yeah. What's extreme about it?
You get to make your own name on their
the back of your jersey. That's not extreme. That's just no rule.
Yeah,
guy,
I know.
The guy's name was He Hate Me.
Stupid. That's just stupid.
Technically, they just gave football players screen names on their jerseys. That's all it really was.
Screen Twitter handles before there was Twitter handles.
It's AIM.
Yeah.
Meets football.
NFL. And they got a bunch of like NFL rejects to play. But it was not entertaining at all. I don't know what the hell he's thinking.
I know. The first episode of the XFL, I believe, had like... Didn't it break like a bunch of records and then it just like dwindled by half every single game after that?
Yeah, the first quarter was really high and then it kept going down.
Didn't Trump also own a football something or another?
Yeah, his was the USFL, the United States Football League.
No one paid attention to that either.
No, yeah. He was trying to compete with the NFL. He ran his games at the same time as the NFL thinking, I'm Donald Trump, I can do what I want. No one wanted anything to do with the USFL. It failed horribly. The only reason he did it was because the NFL owners wouldn't let him own a team.
It's just a reminder of like how bad our amnesia is in this country. The man is a failed businessman, failed presidential candidate, and yet people talk about how he's like this great and successful person. No, he's just a cult leader that you all worship. He's created this illusion that you people worship. But the reality is like, he failed in a football league.
Yep.
Failed in stakes.
Yep.
Failed airline.
Yep.
Failed vodka.
Yep.
It's like...
Failed university.
Mm-hmm. Bankrupt, like what, a dozen times? Half a dozen times?
11, I think.
Ran for... Failed presidential candidate. He ran. People forget that he ran in the early 2000s as a reformist and was laughed out of politics.
He lost to Pat Buchanan.
It's fucking Pat Buchanan. Nobody likes Pat Buchanan. Pat Buchanan doesn't like Pat Buchanan. He looks like the fucking droopy dog. You know what I'm talking about? Yeah. The cartoon of the droopy dog?
Yeah, droopy, yeah.
Droopy, he looks exactly like it. If Droopy was saying like anti-Semitic shit, that's Pat Buchanan for you.
He claims to have exited before.
Bullshit.
But he was on the ballot in the state of California in the year 2000 and lost to Pat Buchanan.
That's something.
Yeah.
That's
something. He doesn't even have a casino in Vegas.
No, they won't let him.
He's got they won't let him. Yeah, he pissed people off. He pissed the people off in Vegas. They wouldn't let him have a casino.
That's why he's in Atlantic City.
Atlantic City failed too, bro. He sold the Taj Mahal.
Apparently miserably. Yeah. Failed miserably.
Yeah. It's all bad.
Oh, I forgot the Pat Buchanan bit. Yeah. That brought good memories back.
So, are you actually going to watch XFL, really?
I mean... No. Realistically, I'm not. Like, it's... I'm a wrestling fan, right? And I watched the XFL as a kid.
And you're a football fan.
Yeah, I am. But the thing is I enjoy good wrestling and I enjoy good football.
Maybe it'll do well because of the Trump factor now.
Yeah. Oh, also...
Because... Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, sorry. McMahon also said that he's going to take it more behind this, so he's not going to meld the world as much. Like, or he's not going to try not to anyway.
If we think about it, it failed in the past, mm-hmm. right? But maybe now it'll do well for two factors. One, we do have Donald Trump as president, mm-hmm. and he's a fan of the McMahons.
Yeah.
But two, I saw a tweet the other day that summed this up quite beautifully, is that Donald Trump has been one of the most successful presidents in only one regard, and that he's convinced a bunch of white people who a year ago loved the law enforcement and the NFL to hate both of those things now. Yeah. Is that the NFL isn't doing entirely well. I mean, it's doing fine. Yes. It's not going to be... It'll be...
Yeah. Multi-billion-dollar industry.
Like, nothing has happened to it money-wise, but white people aren't... White Trump supporters aren't tuning in as often as it... So maybe the XFL is a, like...
Alternative?
Yeah, it's like the moment is ripe for it.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. Most people would be like, football, losing ratings. Maybe this isn't a good time to invest. McMahon goes... I'm going to bring back the XFL. That'll show
them. Yeah, he actually sold stock.
Stop saying XFL like that.
Yeah. That's how he said it.
Yeah, listen, you need to stop saying it so much because it's going to be like when the media talks about Donald Trump. It's going to get implanted in people's minds and they're going to naturally going to want to watch.
But every time you say it like that, some poor listener who's tuning in has to turn down the volume.
Oh, yeah. Sorry for yelling. XFL.
You need to tune it down.
What if this is a big plot by Vince McMahon
to bring back Hulk Hogan?
To bring back...
What was
Papa John Schnatter back into the pizza empire.
He's already gone.
Yeah.
What the real question, I think, for me is that is there any real fans of the XFL out there.
What? No, there wasn't any real fans of the XFL 20 years ago. Yeah, but you know what?
Things have cult followings.
Yeah.
The Las Vegas Outlaws? That's the only team I can think of.
I have a feeling the XFL is the Ant-Man of the Marvel, of the NFL, of the sports universe.
Ant-Man was loved.
Yeah, like a lot of people didn't watch it. They were like,
I watched it.
The thing is, though, if the XFL were to show up in a giant crossover thing like the NFL, like if it showed up in the NFL, people would laugh at it. But people liked Ant-Man in Civil War.
I always found him the most redundant of characters.
Ant-Man? Why?
He's snarky. We already have a snarky character.
Yeah, it's also Tony Stark. I mean, the Ant-Man movies, I think, were a little bit... I mean, the Ant-Man movie... It was nice. It was funny, but it was kind of forgettable. But it was fun. Right? Like it was like Doctor Strange for me. It was forgettable.
In the Ant-Man movies' defense,
and the Ant-Man movies didn't. They're placeholders. They don't do actually anything to, you know, push the Marvel storyline.
They're secondary. He's a secondary character.
He's a tertiary character.
I
thought he was white.
Even worse.
I don't understand. What did you say?
Tertiary.
Turkish?
Tertiary. It's like what a third.
Oh, okay.
Tertiary. Turkish.
I don't know, man. You're saying these weird words I've never heard before in my life.
What the fuck is this? It was Latin.
I've never heard this language.
No, it's English.
I don't know, man. Anyways, but in the Ant-Man movie's defense, right, it was always a minor character. Right, I'm going to go there instead of saying secondary so you don't throw me off your words again. But they also lost their director.
So, he died?
No, they fired him.
Oh.
They lost their director.
Don't say it that way. Why'd you say it that way? They lost their director. Why didn't you say the director left? You know, the director was not... The way you said
him.
It...
They fired him.
Suffered a great loss.
It's like,
you made it seem like he had died.
Seriously.
No, he got fired.
He's like a surgeon. He's coming here.
They lost their director. I was like, oh, shit. I'm going to take back 50% of the negative things I said about Ant-Man. Yeah. I didn't know that they were performing under the pall of loss. No. Under the shroud of mourning. Little did I know that they had suffered this great tragedy.
That's true, especially with a Turkish character.
Yeah, no, he got fired.
He got fired, okay.
Creative differences.
Fuck him.
No, he wanted to make the story more appealing, and the studio didn't.
No, I don't mean fuck him. I mean fuck him. Like, oh, all fuck of them.
The studio.
No, not the studio. All of them.
All of them.
Oh, like Ant-Man, like, the entire thing.
EM at the end. Fuck him.
Fuck him.
Entire enterprise.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I don't
know. How come you don't... Are you not a fan of insects?
I don't mind insects. I don't like spiders.
Are you a fan of the Spider-Man?
I like Spider-Man. I'm not afraid of spiders. Like, you know, some people have arachnophobia.
Yeah.
But I don't like them because I find them... I think they're monsters.
They are.
Spiders are basically monsters in little form.
Yes. I think
if they were any bigger,
they
would be they're like literally monsters.
So are crawfish.
So I have a very strict policy of genocide against the spider race.
Yeah.
Because I believe someday
they'll
become too big. All it takes is one nuke spilling.
Or Australia
good getting point. Too big for its birches. Or, you know, something happened and San Onofre, you know, starts leaking. Yeah. And before we realize it, we're all fucked.
That is true. I mean,
as a result, I've been proactively killing them.
Technically, the doomsday clock got put up 2 minutes, right? It's because that nuclear war, it's actually not nuclear destruction. It's going to be firing down gamma rays that hook up all the spiders.
Uh-huh.
Infinitely more terrifying, in my opinion.
So in response, what I do is I've literally set spiders on fire before.
As you should. Because here's the thing. These soldiers and marines come back from Afghanistan with these giant camel spiders, and they live right next to San Onofre and Camp Pendleton.
Why do they have those spiders with them?
They bring them back. They think it's cool to bring back camel spiders.
Isn't there regulations for bringing back wildlife?
Obviously.
It's an insect.
You can't take a dog to fucking Australia, but somehow you can bring back a camel spider.
And in what universe is insects not wildlife to you?
Can we also point out that these are arachnids?
Yeah, they bring them. The military brings them here. They think they're funny bringing them over, and they try to put them in like their other like platoons beds and shit.
They're alive.
They're alive, dude. They're real. They're alive spiders. They bring them back from Afghanistan and Iraq.
That's what I'm not getting. It's like how are they allowed to bring back live and fauna and flora?
You know why they're called the camel spiders?
Because it kills camels.
Yeah, that's how toxic.
I'm not stupid.
I don't know, man.
You do.
Maybe it had a hump. Like, it would also be plausible.
No, it wouldn't.
Why not?
Because no spider has a hump, it is.
Maybe it's one's different.
God, sometimes. Got two humps. Say. So what were we talking about?
Ant-Man.
Insects. I don't mind insects in general. I just don't like Ant-Man because I found the story was kind of boring.
It didn't really move too much. I find Hank Pym to be insufferable.
You got Hank Pym.
And then Scott Lang.
Scott Lang.
Yeah.
Evangeline Lilly, whatever her character's name is.
The Wasp. Something else Pym.
Something else Pym. It's just not a...
She's actually not a Pym. She didn't take her dad's name.
What? It's not interesting.
Yeah.
It's not interesting. And then he gets small and he gets big. It's like... Fine, whatever.
This is it's interesting though because they were talking about how there's kind of a weird flaw in Civil Wars because what they did was they essentially took the Ant-Man movie and just kind of quashed everything that happened because the movie is about Scott Lang's kind of redemption from being a small-time criminal.
Yeah.
And then because of Civil War, he's a criminal all over again.
Yeah. Well, I mean, this movie, the reason we're bringing it up is that the trailer just dropped.
Yep, today.
And in the trailer, he looks like he's on the run. Pym. Evangeline Lilly. <Yeah. laughs>
I'm gonna actually look up her character name. Look up her
character name. We're gonna call her just Evangeline Lilly, and not Evangeline, just Evangeline Lilly, the whole name.
Hot right? Elf from The Hobbit.
Whatever.
No, I don't think it's okay.
I can't call her.
We need to find her actual name because we've given them all the respect of telling their character names. And somehow we can't respect her enough.
No, I respect her even more by not giving her the stupid name from the movie. Yeah.
So anyway, I call her Hot Elf from The Hobbit.
The point is that the trailer dropped and it looks like they're on the run. Probably because of a result of the stupid shit that they did in
Civil War. This website even calls her Evangeline Lilly. I don't even know.
Evangeline Lilly and them seem to be all on the run. What did you guys think of the trailer?
I enjoyed it.
Her name is Hope Van Dyne.
Okay, turn his mic off. What did I just tell you about bringing up that name? We are calling her Evangeline Lilly.
Listen.
Shut the fuck up.
That was like 3 minutes.
Worthless piece of shit.
That was 3 minutes ago, and I stopped living in the past. I decided that I'm no longer living in the past.
This is why he's the weakest link.
So, I enjoyed the trailer.
Wait, what were we talking about?
The Ant-Man trailer.
Okay, the Ant-Man trailer. Yeah. I was just ranting. I didn't even know actually what he said. I yelled at him.
We're talking about Hope Van Dyne.
Shut up.
Evangeline Lilly.
Evangeline Lilly did what in this trailer?
So, in the trailer... You know, like, she goes, if I was there, you wouldn't have gotten caught. Because he basically, like, he's trying to, like, now he's on the run. And, like, I think it's an interesting take because it shows, like, the world of Marvel after Civil War. Because, like...
This would be technically the first time we see it after.
Yeah.
Because Thor is not...
Because he's on another planet.
Okay, all right,
So, this is, and then Black Panther isn't... We'll see Black Panther when it comes out, but...
This is the first kind of look at that.
Yeah, and this will be the first person who was on the side that got caught, right?
Yeah.
So, like, it'll be a cool, like, thing to see. Personally, I'm looking forward to it.
That's an interesting take.
Yeah.
And there's also, they have these two other characters. Lawrence Fishburne is going to be playing the role of either Othello or Goliath.
Well, Bill Foster. We don't know if he's going to be Black Goliath yet.
Yeah, he might end up. It's just Goliath.
It's Black Goliath.
Is it Black Goliath? Yeah. Is it in Black Goliath in this one? In this comics, is in the comics, he's Goliath.
Bill Foster is who he is now, which is an ally of
Pym. Yeah.
But eventually becomes Goliath.
You know what's messed up is that he actually gets killed in Civil War.
Who, Black Goliath?
By Thorbot.
No way.
Yeah, Iron Man. In the original Civil War comics that came out like 10 years ago, it was Tony Stark... is able to somehow get Thor's DNA, and he makes like a android of Thor.
Yeah.
And then they're fighting. He's fighting Captain America and everything. Goliath's on Captain America's side, and then the Thorbot comes down. And then Goliath like gets all big and starts like running at him, and then Thor like shoots a thunderbolt through his chest and kills him.
Holy shit!
Yeah, but he doesn't go smaller, so they have to make like take a bunch of bulldozers and stuff and like make a giant grave for him. But then, like after Goliath gets killed by a Thorbot, everyone just stops fighting and they all kind of leave. And then that's that moment where it's like there's no reconciliation between Captain America and Thor, or not Thor, Captain America and Iron Man.
Hmm.
That's like the first battle where there's decidedly no reconciliation at that.
Black Goliath, as he was originally known, was one of those classic and iconic
blaxploitation
characters. In fact, is the blurb of the book of his graphic novel reads, Bill Foster, Dr. William Barrett Foster, DSC, PhD, a child of the ghetto who has pulled himself up out of the Los Angeles slums to become director of one of the nation's most prestigious research labs, a man whose research has given him the power to instantaneously grow to a height of 15 feet with the strength of a true giant, a man who has become a hero.
Incidentally, who was the author of that comic book? How white does the name sound?
It was Rich Buckler was the artist.
Rich Buckler.
You know what would have messed up, though? And this would have been a true testament to how messed up the time would have been, is like he used it to become a basketball player first, and then he realized he could be a superhero. God
damn it, V.
Like, imagine, like, but is it far, honestly, is it far-fetched to think that they would have done something like that first in a blaxploitation comic?
Like, first of all, love the fact that he was called Black Goliath. Yeah. That's hilarious. Cracks me up endlessly. And just such typical Marvel dated bullshit. Yeah. It is interesting to see Lawrence Fishburne back into the saddle and in a yet another sci-fi fantasy-esque movie.
He's got the look and maybe the voice for it or something, right? Because he was in Matrix. But he's also, wasn't he also in Event Horizon?
In what now?
Event Horizon.
Never heard of it.
It was like this sci-fi horror movie, but I feel like he, for whatever reason, seems to fit those roles pretty well.
He was a villain in that Kevin Hart and
but that was Ice in a Cube. Fantasy movie, you doofus.
Yeah, still counts.
He was a crime boss.
Yeah, I like it.
Definitely, that wasn't a fantasy. Yeah.
Fucking idiot.
Yeah. It's a fantasy when Kevin Hart plays a cop.
He wasn't a cop in that movie.
Well, Ice Cube was a cop.
He was a high school. He was a high school security guard.
That wanted to be a cop.
Who played video games as Black Hammer. He wanted to be.
There's some superhero escape.
Let's just stop at Black Hammer. We don't need to go any further.
Exactly.
There's also a character named Ghost in there that's been played by Hannah John Kamen.
Hannah, who now?
Yeah, which is Ghost is an interesting character.
She's from Game of Thrones.
Which one is she?
She's a Dothraki.
What? They have Dothraki women? I didn't know that.
Of course they have women. Like,
I know, but I thought they didn't show any of the Dothraki women.
Yeah, they did. Literally, there's a whole scene.
Yeah, the whole burning down the idiot.
That part, that was just very short.
Just shut the fuck up.
Whatever, man.
Anyway, so this is interesting because the character of Ghost is actually a male in the comic books. And interesting character is because it's like an anti-hero. Ghost is kind of an anti-hero. It has a suit, technologies that causes him to be, makes it so it's like he's nothing, like almost like Shadowcat.
Well, he's part of Ghost Tech. Ghost Tech screws him over, and so he links up his suit because these are microchips that allow him to become intangible.
Yeah.
Shadowcat's is a power.
Yeah.
His is based on a microchip. Microchip allows him to become intangible, and so it's actually Ghost Tech that he screws him over, so he screws them over.
Yeah, but it becomes this like anti-corporatist activist guy, or like he like screws. He's like Fight Club. He like goes and screws over credit companies and shit. Yeah, but although he's technically, I think, a villain in the comic books, if I remember correctly, which kind of shows where they stand on the whole corporate big government thing.
I mean, I felt all right with the trailer. It wasn't that impressive. Ghost was kind of cool, briefly.
I think it's hard because Marvel is so saturated now, and comic book movies in general are so saturated that it becomes harder and harder to get excited. Because we talked about this before, but I got that the knot in my stomach when you first saw all the Avengers around the table, right? Because it was the first time it ever happened. And then as things began to kind of get more regular, now it's like, all right, well, now just more goofy people in capes. Mm. And then as the years go on, you know, it's the law of diminishing returns, right? It's like people are used to seeing heroes already, right? They're all the big heroes are already kind of out there. So it's not, I don't think it's people don't get excited for these Marvel movies anymore. And then Black Panther comes around and it like reinvigorates this like excitement for a new type of hero.
And the reviews of Black Panther so far are pretty stellar.
Yeah.
A lot of people are coming out of it going, it's the best movie that they've seen. Now, we take that with a grain of salt because they said the same thing about The Last Jedi, and we all know how I feel about The Last Jedi.
I don't know, man. Black Panther's gonna be dope. I think it's gonna have a good soundtrack.
Oh, yeah, it's gonna have a fantastic soundtrack.
Right. If it's anything like Luke Cage's soundtrack, I'm gonna be happy.
That's the thing, man. Music, they underrate how well, like, music means to the movie. Like, when I think of, like...
Who were you talking about? I mean, anyone I know unanimously thinks that music and score makes a movie.
Yeah, it's people that you know, but there's a lot of people out there who don't. Like, for them, it's like, they were...
What type of uncouth troglodytes are you hanging out with?
Like,
do you really have to ask?
Yeah. Like, realistically, right? You ask people, like, oh, yeah, hey, that score in Godfather was amazing. What's a score, bro? I don't even know what you're talking about.
Oh, come on. Hans Zimmer is, like, one of the most famous musicians because of the fact that he does these scores.
Yeah. Iconic ones, too.
Yeah, to us.
Fucking Batman, Dark Knight Rises, that scene in the hole.
Yeah.
The chanting.
I know.
Mm.
But, see... But there's people out there who just don't even think about it because they're too worried about the visuals and shit. They don't even think about, like, the stuff that's going on behind it. But, I mean, I still jam out to the Guardians of the Galaxy playlist.
I mean, the playlist... the movie wasn't that good, but the
playlist
was
all technically right. Technically, the music is really... It was really, like, the biggest part of Guardians of the Galaxy.
But that's just part of that trend of nostalgic music, right? So, there is, I think, one of the Stranger Things is an example of that.
The nostalgia.
This kind of nostalgic sense of past Americana and music that kind of captures that. It actually started first and foremost in the indie coming of age films. A23 Studios.
Garden State and shit.
Yeah, it started off with these small indie movies that often were about coming of age that brought these kind of 80s, 70s songs back and used them in these moments of like, realization. There was always some teen driving in a car, looking at the stars, and some 70s track was playing. Right, that was the beginning of it, and then it became really widespread into this broader nostalgic attempt in movies that you see in shows like Stranger Things, in movies like Guardians of the Galaxy, that bring back these kind of older songs.
Well, yeah, those older style music is like huge now, like Bruno Mars. Like, he's got the number
Bruno
one.
Bruno Mars is totally... I mean, I like Bruno Mars for that reason.
Well, yeah, he's got, like, the whole, like, old-school vibe, like, 70s, 80s. Yeah.
And his Uptown Funk.
Yeah, his new song with Cardi B, Finesse, it's straight...
I've heard it.
The 90s, like, In Living Color.
Haven't heard it.
Yeah, I mean, even the music video was him on the In Living Color, like, old In Living Color set.
Cardi B was the stripper.
Yes.
She was a stripper.
Turned...
Rapper. She's a rapper.
No, hip-hop wife something?
Yeah, she was on Love & Hip Hop.
Love & Hip Hop.
Yeah, Love & Hip Hop New York.
And then became a rapper.
Okay. Yeah. And then now she's like...
People are obsessed with her.
Yeah, well, she has like three songs that are like topping the charts
people
right
now. They love her. For what reason? What is it?
Because she got really big on Instagram for just like speaking her mind.
Oh, okay.
You know, she like...
She's just an honest person.
Yeah, but she's like brutally authentic. Honest. Like
authentic.
Yeah. And then like she'll be going on award shows and she'll like act a fool, but like in like a funny way. Like it's not like she's like causing a scene.
Gotcha.
Like she'll make like weird faces and weird noises and stuff. But yeah, she's cool. She was on the Grammys. She's like, I'm sorry.
Did you guys watch the Grammys?
I saw a little bit of it.
I didn't watch it.
I saw some performances. I didn't really watch the whole thing.
I don't want the Grammys.
It's actually the lowest. I think this was the lowest viewership in Grammys in a really long time, if I remember correctly.
It was on at the same time as the Royal Rumble. I couldn't watch both. I had to watch the Royal Rumble.
I've never been an award show type.
I remember watching the VMAs when we were younger.
Yeah,
right? It was like a thing when we were like in middle school. Then.
I watched the Grammys.
They're too long, is my issue.
Sure. When Eminem was performing with
Elton John,
I watched that Grammys because I was a big Eminem fan. Right?
I watch performances every once in a while.
Yeah.
I don't actually tune into award shows because they're one, too long. They're two, way too self-congratulatory.
Yeah, they are.
So everyone's always thanking the same people.
It's true. Yeah. Thanking God.
And their record label and stuff.
And then 90% of the time, I don't know who it is and what's going on.
But so this year, right, like at the Grammys, the performance that I watched first, right, was Kesha's performance. She did her song Praying. She had a few other artists come out with her and stuff too.
But, yeah, that was one of those moments.
Yeah, like it gave me goosebumps because like she's holding back tears as she's like singing the song.
One of the first of the kind of women survivors that had to deal with it in the music industry.
Yeah, she spoke out and people didn't believe her.
We've talked about it in Hollywood, we've talked about it in politics, but the music industry was really kind of Kesha that sparked that conversation.
She's talking about Dr. Luke. We had a whole podcast about it.
We did a whole podcast on it.
And then, so that was a great performance. I watched Kendrick's performance. He was cool too.
He performed and then won
for best rap
album. Yeah. Right? For best rap.
Yeah, he won for best rap album. But the two biggest awards.
Bruno Mars also performed.
He did. Yeah, he did. Him and Cardi B. Yeah. He won best record and best album. So he swept the two biggest awards of the night.
Right. Amongst other things, Bruno Mars won a bunch of stuff.
He's a little guy too, isn't he?
Yeah, he's shorter than I am.
5'2"?
Yeah. I think he's like 5'2", 5'3". Yeah, he's a little guy, but...
Well, you're 5'3", so he's gonna be 5'2".
5'8", fuck you, piece of shit. Stop bullying me. It's not wrong to be vertically challenged, piece of shit. I'm 5'8", stop telling people I'm 5'2". I'm gonna find you and murder you one day.
All right, calm down, all right? Listen, okay, we don't need to talk about how Diz has, you know, a 15-inch inseam on his pants.
Okay. Fuck you. It's a 30.
Yeah, it's short legs. I understand. It's kiss okay. My ass. Yeah. Listen, you don't have. You don't have.
When you're angry.
Fuck you. Stop infantilizing me.
You want to try that again?
Did you say infantilizing?
I think you just had a stroke.
Infantilizing.
Very good.
Yeah, infantilizing.
Good boy.
Piece of shit.
Someone give him a cookie.
Nice fuck job. You. We'll go to the Baby Gap and grab you a new pair of pants later.
Punch you both in the dicks as hard as I can.
Listen, okay? There's nothing controversial about your short stature, Diz.
Fuck you.
But there was a lot of controversy actually behind this Grammy Award.
Yeah?
Yeah, because, I mean, we've seen this with a lot of award shows now, mm-hmm. right? There's the Grammy, you know, there's the Oscars So White.
Yeah.
You mm-hmm. know, and then the Grammys. Big thing was like Grammys very so male this year. A lot of people talking about it with Lorde, right? Mm-hmm. And you know, I think she's great. She had a really wonderful, album. But the people were talking about how she was the only woman that was nominated for Album of the Year.
Yeah, she was. She was the only out of the five nominees. She was the only woman.
And then also she wasn't invited to perform uh-huh. on a solo thing, right? Yeah. Whereas all like I think you said Jay-Z got nominated, right?
Yeah, Jay-Z didn't perform. Nominated. He didn't perform,
but he was invited to perform.
Yeah,
and all the other male nominees uh-huh. had a chance to perform. She was Kendrick. Invited to perform on a group thing, not on her own.
Yeah, for Tom Petty, like yeah. a tribute performance.
Thing. Exactly. So people were upset about that. She didn't actually win Album of the Year. Right, which was a bit of a shame, but there was that wasn't the only controversy though with women and the Grammys. Uh-huh. There was this whole thing that you know a lot of the women performers like Pink and Lady Gaga and Kesha and Kelly Clarkson, you know, they were also best pop performance against Ed Sheeran's Shape of You.
Uh-huh.
Right, Ed Sheeran ended up winning that, and people were really upset about that too because it's like Ed Sheeran. Was up against all these women, and he won on a song where all he was singing about was falling in love with the shape of a woman. Like the shape of you. Yeah,
I've heard that song. Isn't that impressive?
Good for you.
It was one of the most popular songs of 2017.
I know, but I don't even listen to the radio, which means that I would have picked it up osmosis walking through campus.
I'm pretty sure "Shape of You" was like. Number two or number one streamed
didn't
song on
Spotify.
Didn't he
beat like some record of what he sold or some shit like that?
No, it was the most streamed song on Spotify, if I'm not mistaken.
Spotify.
Yeah. Whatever. So okay. I can understand him winning that award, like the best pop performance, because it was a huge song. And it was number one on the Billboard chart for the longest amount of times in 2017, for like the longest amount of time, more than anyone else. So.
Does anyone smell toast?
Are you having a stroke?
Nope, I just thought I smelled toast.
Mm.
Yeah, so I mean, I could see people being upset about it, but I could also see why he won it.
Well, see, the Grammys are interesting because as opposed to it being like a group, you know, like people voting,
mm-hmm.
there's there's the Academy kind of is the one that kind of determines who wins what, right?
Uh-huh.
And that in and of itself, I think, is a problem because you have the Academy CEO/producer. His name is Neil Portnow,
uh-huh.
right? And then he was on Variety, and he basically, they were interviewing him, and he talked about how, like, because they asked him about how, like, what women can do to get more recognition within the Grammys.
Uh-huh.
And essentially, he went to this whole thing about how, you know, it's like, they can, women in all fields can find their way by stepping it up, right?
Uh-huh.
And then those words translated into a lot of people getting really upset.
In context, it was less horrible than him just going step it up.
Yeah.
But it's still a really gross comment.
It is. And what's messed up about it is that when he apologized, he did the same thing that every single person does when they say something dumb and they get called out for it. I was taken out of context, right? Mm. I literally just read an article on BuzzFeed about, there's this multi-level marketing pyramid scheme called LuLaRoe, right? Which sells leggings to women.
Yeah, my friends do that.
Right, and there's one of these representatives, one of their highest sellers went into this whole thing, and he was on a live Facebook video, and he had made fun, and he had basically replicated kind of the behaviors of someone with Down syndrome.
Oh, shit.
And people went crazy over it.
Uh-huh.
And the second that he found out that he was getting backlash, he literally said the same thing. It was taken out of context, and that's not me. The only problem is, though, every single time someone says something fucking stupid, they say those same two statements every single time.
Uh-huh.
Right? And quite frankly, I'm tired of hearing it.
Mm.
You know, it's idiotic, it's moronic, and numbers of the time don't lie. I mean, the past 6 years, there have been 899 nominees in the Grammy Awards. Do you want to know what percentage of them were women?
Mm. I don't know, like 25, 30?
9%.
9%?
Yeah.
Even though women make up a significant number of the Academy.
Yeah. Right,
of the industry, the music industry. That's it. This is one of those kind of structural issues that the Grammys has never quite really addressed.
Yeah. And then, I mean, we were talking about songs earlier too, right? And there was a little bit of... People are upset about the fact that Despacito... You know, considered the kind of the biggest song of the year.
Yeah, one of the biggest
songs. It was huge. I mean, it broke records. It was, I think it was the most streamed on YouTube.
Yeah.
Right? And it was also a number one for the longest time. And this was, the Grammys is supposed to be a worldwide award show.
Yeah.
The idea being that behind those things, it's not just about the United States.
Mm-hmm.
It's about songs around the world that changed the industry, right?
Yeah.
A lot of people consider Despacito to be the one to do it, because even before Justin Bieber came in on it,
yeah,
it was huge worldwide in the beginning of the year.
Yeah, it was huge with just Luis Fonsi.
Despacito, I hate that song.
Luis Fonsi and Daddy Yankee. That's the only reason that Justin Bieber...
Well, I actually like Daddy Yankee's other songs.
Yeah.
You do?
Yeah. That's interesting.
I didn't think you'd like anything with a Yankee in it.
You know what?
No, I mean, but the Grammys...
He's a brown Yankee.
It's true. The Grammys have been doing that for a while, though. Like, even... Back in like the late 80s, so 1988 or 89, when they had their first like best hip hop award, they didn't air it. And Will Smith and DJ Jazzy Jeff won the award, right, for best hip hop record. And they didn't accept their Grammy. They just returned the Grammy back to them. They never wanted it. They're like, if we're not going to be taken seriously as artists to be put on TV, why do we want your stupid award? They've been like targeting like hip hop artists for years. And, like, this year, too, all right? Don't get me wrong. I love Bruno Mars. I think Bruno Mars is a great artist.
Actually, the album is really good, too.
It's a timeless album, and I think it's a good album, right?
Yeah.
And I think... But I don't think there's anything that Bruno Mars puts out that people don't like. I've compared Bruno Mars to Michael Jackson, because every crowd likes Bruno Mars, just like every crowd liked Michael Jackson. Like... Young people like him, old people like him, white people like him, black people like him. Yeah. You know, like,
I mean, he also wrote Grammy Award-winning hits before he became his own artist.
Yeah, but I think like this year was a big year in hip hop because Jay-Z's album 444 and Kendrick's album Damn were two of the best albums I've ever heard in my life. Not just on like a hip hop level. Is like I'm a big hip hop head, and those are two of the best hip hop albums of all time, like bar none. But I think just music wise, the way that they were able to
I'm a Kendrick Lamar fan myself.
Yeah,
the three songs I've heard
right from this album.
Yeah,
you know, like, and the thing is I think they did something new this year, and they were more vocal and more like activists, like with the, like Jay-Z's. The story of OJ, like, was talking about the minstrel shows and how, like, no matter how much, like, you succeed, you'll still always be considered an N-word.
Yeah. Right? Oh, yeah. The video, like, the video is the cartoon with the big lips and everything is really, well, really crazy.
Beyonce's Yellow
mm-hmm.
was considered a particularly anthemic, activist-oriented song.
Lemonade.
Lemonade, that's what it was.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yellow was a Coldplay song.
Whatever it was. She was wearing yellow in it. Yeah. I remember because I saw the SNL skit in which white people freaked out because it was black Beyonce, not white Beyonce.
Yeah.
And they were losing their shit in
that. Here's the thing, though. The Grammys have a history of doing this shit. Yeah. So one of my favorite albums of all time is the Marshall Mathers LP, right? That's Eminem's album. He was up for Album of the Year.
Uh-huh.
You know who won the award for Album of the Year that year?
Nope.
Steely Dan.
Who?
Exactly. Who the fuck is Steely?
Wait, hold on. Let's pause a moment. This isn't just me being ignorant of pop culture. This is a genuine person who doesn't.
Steely Dan was some like.
Like no one really knows.
Old rock band from like the 80s or 70s.
Do you know who Steely Dan is?
I do. It's okay. Old guy music.
Yeah, it's like old white people music.
Yeah.
You know what old people white music I do like?
What?
Folk music.
Again, folk music's nice.
I enjoy folk music.
That's not bad. Yeah. But okay, so Beyonce, she put out that Lemonade album, considered like an anthemic album for women.
And is that the one that
she lost to Beck?
Yeah.
Right. Don't get me wrong. Beck's a great artist, right? I don't listen to Beck, but he's a good artist.
He's really talented.
Yeah, he's a talented artist. But Beyonce put out one of the greatest albums of all time.
You sure started this sound. Like him. Yeah. You're starting to sound like him. There may be something going on.
Yeah. Jay-Z and Kendrick should have, like, they should have won one of the awards for either Record of the Year or Album of the Year, right?
So they're stuck in their own category, but they're not able to ever be recognized in a category that's like all-inclusive, like Album of the Year.
Yeah.
Right? Or they're never recognized for that. I mean, even a couple years ago, didn't Kendrick Lamar lose to Macklemore?
Now, here's the question, though. I don't know if the politics plays. I don't know if it's the political message of the song is the reason why they're not winning in those categories, or if we're talking about something structural, because as V pointed out, women are also facing this kind of problem, and a lot of those times those women aren't singing political anthems or anything like that. So I don't know if Kendrick Lamar's or Beyonce's or Jay-Z's political message is what's hurting their chances.
I think it's structural.
I think it's an issue of hip-hop's recognition as a music genre beyond, right, like as being able to compete with rock or something else.
Why not?
If it's, I know. Yeah. I'm not saying that's okay. I'm saying that's the issue of why the Grammys are not giving it to them, because I think they're privileging certain genres.
Yeah.
But rock music is also as equally political. So I don't think it's the politics or the political message that's hurting these songs. I think what's hurting them is the fucked up behind the scene politics
of
the Grammys.
Because to these Academy members, hip hop isn't real
right, form whereas of art. Rock is real art, real music.
Yeah, right.
Right. So hip hop has its own category, but it's not gonna be able to compete with a rock anthem or something like that, or even country music or anything like
just
that.
Just stupid.
Right.
Yeah, it just doesn't make any goddamn sense.
There was another moment that happened at the Grammys that we kind of skipped over.
What happened?
And that is Hillary Clinton showed up.
Oh, God.
Shit. What song did she write?
They were reading from Fire and Fury. They were reading from Fire and Fury. And she was...
She covered her face with the book.
And she lowered it, and she was talking about his love of McDonald's. McDonald's.
Yeah, because she was afraid of being poisoned.
She was afraid of being poisoned.
He was afraid of being
poisoned. And it caused a lot of controversy. Did you guys see the responses by people?
No. What were they saying?
Well, some people were obviously pleasantly shocked, like hell yeah, it's Hillary Clinton, welcome back, we love you. Yeah.
Well, that Cardi B girl also read one of the
Cardi B,
and
then there's other people that's like, I hate her, why did you ruin this show, how dare you put this woman back on air, because the mere presence of, you know, Hillary Clinton somehow makes people,
what's even worse, the fact that
their fucking minds.
Literally, the Republicans never shut up about Hillary Clinton.
They never shut up about Hillary Clinton. Then, of course, Nikki Haley, the ambassador to the United Nations, she tweeted out, I have always loved the Grammys, but to have artists read Fire and Fury book killed it. Don't ruin great music with trash. Some of us love music without the politics thrown in. Now, I should mention that Nikki Haley, who has whitewashed her very lovely Indian name, can go fuck herself on multiple levels.
What's her Indian name?
I forgot what her Indian name is. Doesn't matter. But the point is that I responded to her and I received 101 likes, and that's all that matters in life is likes.
And I said, that means you have 101 friends.
Yeah, that means I have 101 people who like me. I'm popular. Take that, Aliso Nigga High School. No, I'm just
kidding. Wow. This podcast makes pathetic people of us all. Jeez.
Well, by pathetic, there's rankings. Yeah. There's like the depths of patheticness that you two reach. And then there's the little moments that I skirt on the surface.
See, even in this podcast, he's part of the 1%.
That's fucked up. I wrote in response to Nikki whitewash name Haley, "Then you were deeply ignorant. Music has always been political, from freedom and resistance songs to anthems that have riled up a whole generation. What you mean to say is that you like your music without the inconvenience of truth it brings." And this is what I really think we want to talk a little bit about, is that there are a significant number of people who go out there, like, musicians shouldn't have a political opinion or whatnot.
Yeah.
And I think in our generation, one of the most iconic moments is the Dixie Chicks, right?
Yeah.
Nobody likes the Dixie Chicks. I don't like the Dixie right. Chicks. I've never even heard of a Dixie Chick song other than the one where they're like, "I'm mad as hell." It was like a response to George W. Bush. After all the hoopla, they came back and they sang the song. That's the only song of theirs I ever know. I've never heard anything of theirs. But they had the audacity to have an opinion about George W. Bush and him going to war for oil, and fucking they burned their CDs, they banned them off of country music radio waves, they had protests and boycotts about them. And this has always cracked me up. There is a significant population that wants to enjoy music without acknowledging the type of oppression, frustration, anger, and hurt that music sometimes channels. A lot of musicians are talking about pain and suffering, and they're talking about it not just as an individual level, but at a structural level. You mentioned, for example, Jay-Z and Kendrick Lamar, but this goes back to the very heart of music itself, right? Mm-hmm. Conveying religious fervor. One of the most famous kind of freedom songs from the American slavery, "Follow the Drinking Gourd," was an Underground Railroad song that people would sing in order to direct slaves on how to escape. Follow the Drinking Gourd meant follow the Big Dipper. Yeah. The Big Dipper is the drinking gourd, right? To freedom songs in the civil rights movement, "We Shall Overcome," right? There is that fantastic moment in which they superimposed that song over the scene of President Obama during his presidency walking over the bridge.
Right.
Right? With all the previous civil rights activists, "We Shall Overcome," this powerful moment. And not just, these deep freedom-oriented resistance songs. "I Am Not a Fortunate Son," right?
Yeah.
Vietnam anti-war protests. Bruce Springsteen, right? There's a long tradition of American politics and music being intertwined with one another. That's the heart of it.
Yeah.
So when people like this talk about wanting to remove politics from music, they're coming from a position of power. They don't want to be inconvenienced by the truths that these songs represent, by the things Kendrick Lamar is saying, or the things that hip-hop represents. I mean, hip-hop has a deep tradition of continuing these resistance songs.
I mean, like, you look at just in the early 80s, or late 80s, early 90s, when you had artists like Public Enemy fight the power, right?
Mm.
Like, what were they talking about? Because they came from a place where society was holding them down, and they were being like, and they also had 9-1-1 as a joke, which was more of like comedic because it was more Flavor Flav. But at the same time, they were telling their stories of how they were treated by police officers. And you also had that with NWA, with like, fuck the police.
Yeah. Right? Incidentally, Flavor Flav was at a Roy Moore rally.
What the hell?
Yeah. He's the one where his wife was all like, "Our attorney's a Jew."
Uh-huh.
He's like, and then she was all like, "Well, when Roy Moore became president, he brought 3 black people with him, and one of them being here," and then it shot to a thing of Flavor Flav, and he was standing up with his giant clock around his neck, and he was like dancing.
God damn.
Yeah.
The hell?
Yeah. Like,
I think Chuck D wants to beat up Flavor Flav. But like, that was hip hop. Hip hop has, like, whether it was, you know, like Public Enemy, NWA, Tupac, Biggie, and now you got Jay-Z, Kendrick Lamar still. Like,
right, this is
still doing that, right?
I mean, we have a dear colleague and friend of ours, dear friend, Nuro, who's literally teaching a history of hip-hop at Duke right now, and it is about this element of politics and resistance. Right? She's a political scientist. She's not a historian of music, right? But there's a reason there.
Yeah.
And this is something that we often forget, which is what frustrates me when I hear people talk about removing politics, because nothing is a sure sign of the privilege and power they're speaking from.
Uh-huh.
They haven't had to have resistance songs. They didn't have to have songs that speak truth to power. And so for them, it's an inconvenient fact. It's an inconvenient moment.
Yeah. I mean, there's other hip-hop artists. I know before you were talking about like Grandmaster Flash and stuff.
Yeah, I mean, Grandmaster Flash, I think, is one of the most perfect examples because he doesn't ever actually minces the words, right? There's, you look at White Lines, which is about the cocaine epidemic, right? Or like crack, and he's also talking about life, you know, living life
to the fullest.
Yeah. On cocaine. when you can, right?
Oh, never mind. Yeah. Oh, shit. Shit.
Seriously, what's your fucking problem, Ali?
Wrong direction. Take it back.
Wow.
Reel it back.
Listen, that quote was taken out of context.
I in no way, shape, or form endorse cocaine.
Yeah. Sorry, that's not who I am. It was not taken out of context. As a purpose.
Yeah. Listen, they're talking about the crack cocaine epidemic in the 80s.
Live your life to the fullest. But you know some white person was like, that was their response. That was their solution to the crack. Live your life.
Yeah. When in doubt, blame a white man.
Look, it's worked for me. I made a career out of it, okay?
Sorry, V, go ahead.
I don't even know what I was talking about anymore. Oh, yeah, well, so there's another great song by Grandmaster Flash and the Furious Five called The Message.
Please tell me that this one's more positive.
No, it's never positive. Wow. But he literally, the whole song, he's literally talking about what it's like to live in these conditions as a black man or a black person,
yeah,
living in the ghetto or in the city or whatever else. He even finds a way to rhyme sacroiliac somehow, which is super, yeah, fucking talented.
We should also note that amongst these fantastic musicians are also women musicians, in particular. Absolutely, women, yeah, of color, yeah, have led the way. I mean, We Shall Overcome.
Yeah.
But Nina Simone, quite famously, was such a brilliant feminist and, yeah, activist and civil rights activist very early on, and she was unapologetically black.
Yeah. Oh, right? Lauryn Hill, another good one. Yeah, I think.
Her,
yeah,
music is deeply tied to that. Miriam Makeba, right? Brilliant, brilliant. Died in 2008, unfortunately. Nina Simone, 2003? Mm. Early 2000s is what
I believe
was.
So.
Because I was still in high school when she passed away. But these are all, I mean, and there's other artists, right? Like Lady Gaga, who's more inclined towards feminism. But when we're talking about civil rights and tied into their music, Nina Simone, right? Like, you can't not listen to some of her songs and not hear the politics behind it.
Mm-hmm.
This is why when people like Nikki Haley speak, I want to tell them to shut the fuck up, sit down, and let's open up our textbooks to page...
Page what?
169.
You're thinking of what, like...
I was trying to remember what Snape's said. Was. What I think was it?
336.
386.
Maybe.
Hey, any Harry Potter fans, can you remind me what page number it was? I can't for the life of me remember.
I'm pretty sure it was in the 300s.
It was 300 and 368 or something like that.
Who the hell is Snape?
God, I'm going to fucking throw a fucking water bottle at
and
your face.
And on that note, we're going to end this podcast with the currently nerdy Patronus.
I'm pretty sure you're having like a stroke on the air.
It's been a long day. I've been all day teaching.
You smelled toast. You talked about how they should live life to the fullest on the crack cocaine.
I think I legit had like an Alzheimer's moment where I forgot what you were talking about.
Are you tasting pennies in your mouth right now? Or
you nope. just decided we're going to make a new theme song for Patronus.
I just decided.
You know, I thought he was
off the cuff. That's going to be our intro song for the currently Patronuses. Yeah. That's good though.
That's a terrible intro.
I think it's not bad, okay? I think designer can turn that into
a
song.
I'm just going to point it out that I lack the technical skills to make a theme song, so I did what my computer couldn't do, I did with my mouth. I'm just going to leave it there. No further explanations needed.
I don't even know if I want to record the podcast anymore.
So V-Tran, the Patronus I.
Okay, so, as some of you may know,
yeah,
you know, Ali and I are kind of homebodies, and Diz is this jet-setting international man.
Oh, yeah.
Right? He loves to travel, he loves new cultures.
When was the last time you were out of the country?
I think about 10 years ago.
Holy shit. Do you have a passport?
No.
You need to renew your passport just in case.
I need to go get one.
Yeah. You need to run.
That is true, yeah.
Are you going to take me to England with you?
No, but in case you need to go on the run.
Well, I can't afford to go on a run.
That's sad. Can't even afford to escape.
Well, what a shame.
Neither can you.
Oh, but I escaped plenty of times.
That's true.
Carry on.
But anyway, all right. For us homebodies who don't understand the importance of travel, because we always make excuses like, you know, I can't, I have kids, my dog needs to be fed, I don't have enough money, right? My leg got blown off in Iraq.
What?
You know, like, there are plenty of excuses that people make about travel.
It's not right.
Right? When in actuality, you don't even need to pay for a plane ticket or have a fully functioning legs.
What?
I'm just saying, all right, this lady, Marilyn Hartman, 66 years young, right, has become known as the serial stowaway.
What?
Yeah. This woman is marvelous. You know, I admire her to the fullest because she has been able to sneak on to flights from L.A. to Jacksonville to all the way through Florida and even into London.
Here's the question. How many times has she done this?
Okay, so since in 2015, she claimed to have snuck on to at least 8 flights.
That's a lot of flights to sneak on to, bro.
Okay, we've all flown here, right?
Yeah.
TSA checks your ID.
And your boarding pass.
And your boarding pass.
Yeah. Yeah.
Then you gotta beep, beep. Right?
Mm-hmm. Beep, beep. You gotta scan. You gotta scan.
Yeah.
The beep, beep machine. Right?
Yeah, the metal detector?
No.
The what?
The scanner.
You have to scan your ticket,
dude. When you get on an airplane.
Oh, no. Yeah, you scan
beep,
it.
Beep, beep.
They do that at TSA, too.
Right. So you do that. Mm-hmm. Once you get on the airplane, you sit down in a seat. That seat belongs to somebody. Mm-hmm. Right? I mean, how many times does someone go, oh, I think you're sitting in my seat, right? Like, so the question is, how did she get through all these different layers of security and checkpoints and then still manage to sit in the one seat that wasn't taken up by someone else?
See, this woman is a genius, all right? Although the judge says that she has mental health issues.
We'll be the judge of that.
I don't believe that for a second. See, these are the same judges that let that Brock Larson guy or whatever his name is get off.
Brock Turner.
Brock Turner.
Yeah.
I don't know who Brock Larson is, but that Brock Turner dude.
You maligned him.
Yeah. He got 3 months for being a fucking rapist, and this poor lady.
Okay, you gotta warn people before you're gonna drop into that conversation.
Excuse me, okay.
Give people a heads up.
All right, that Brock Turner guy, spoiler alert, got 3 months.
That's spoiler. It's not a fucking TV show. For fuck's sake, Tran.
Excuse me, all right.
I may have had a seizure, but this fucking dumbass just ruined it all. We're gonna be off the air tomorrow.
More than likely.
We're going to be attacked.
And it's not my fault this time.
No. For once.
Go fuck yourself, Diz.
What the hell, man? Why are you attacking me now? I'm an innocent bystander.
That is true. Yeah. Anyways, what was I talking about?
Miriam something or another.
Oh, yes, of course. Marilyn Hartman, 66.
So how did she get on is the question.
So this is, okay, so number one, she has done something that I think that we all on this table collectively should do, and is get banned in Chicago.
Yeah, okay, I'm okay with that.
No, what?
But she got,
feel like I need to go to Chicago.
So she got banned from Chicago International or Chicago O'Hare International Airport, right? Because
plus, you can always fly in somewhere else and drive to Chicago.
She fucking snuck on to a plane that was going to London. She ended up in London, right, where the authorities grabbed her and sent her back.
Okay. Right? Again, think of how many security points that she's managed to elude.
Yeah. This happened a week ago. This happened a week ago.
She's white, right?
Yeah, yeah.
There's no way in fuck Fatima, you know, Ruqayyah would have managed to sneak onto an airplane like that.
Yeah.
Or Muhammad Abdul Aziz.
Yeah. Ain't no Muhammads, ain't that's no true, Fatimas, ain't no Khadijah.
No way in hell.
No Umars.
They would have never.
Ali ibn Kitab.
Let me just tell you. If I'm just in the vicinity of an airport, my butt cheeks clench up.
This is true.
Out of just instinct of all the harassment I face, just near an airport. If this woman was able to waltz through all of that,
this is legit.
Little old white lady is totally can do that.
If her name was Abdul Al-Hazaret or whatever it was.
That's from the Necronomicon.
Oh, sorry.
Dumbass.
Lovecraft thing. Anyway. So,
Abdul Al-what?
Al-Hazaret. I said it the other day in the car and I think it stuck in his head.
Plus, I'm a Lovecraft fan. Anyway, so this is what's interesting is because someone from the Cook County Sheriff's Office told the Chicago Sun-Times that they had asked her how she got through these things.
Mm-hmm.
And she was quoted by saying, I'm an old white lady. Nobody stops me.
She actually said that.
According to the officer, that's exactly what she said.
Did I not just say that? Did I not just say that?
What the hell?
I think the consensus on this, the judgment on this is clear. She is accepted as a currently nerdy patronus.
She has to be. If anything, it's representation.
It is. We need old white lady.
You know, I love like, this old white lady.
The white ladies may not have won at the Grammys, but they certainly have won at currently nerdy.
All I can say is that this would never have happened to anyone else other than the little old white lady.
Yeah. Apparently, she'd gone through security by like going in little groups, but she'd take her hair and like put it over her face. Right? Like, just like kind of covering her face.
All
right. But if that had been a hijab.
Let me be. Her hair was in a fucking invisibility cloak. Yeah. Someone wasn't doing their job. I've never heard ever, like, oh, I put my hair by my face. Suddenly I was unrecognizable.
Yeah.
Any woman that's put her hair next to, like, suddenly doesn't become unrecognizable. Like, if your wife needs to sneak out of the house, she puts her, oh, who's that random lady leaving? You know what I mean? Like, you know, you're like, what the hell are you doing, Becky?
Yeah.
I can see you, you know? Her hair is in an invisibility cloak. Someone wasn't doing their job. And this just goes to confirm our thesis that TSA actually isn't looking at your bags, isn't doing anything. Because that screen thingy, I've seen several times. Many of them are eating Cheetos. And then the screen, just scrolling through. They are not even looking to see what's in that shit.
That is true.
It's all an illusion.
Yeah, because this one time I decided to look at the screen. You know, the security screen.
Don't make a joke that goes too far.
Dude was looking at 9GAG. He wasn't even looking at the security thing. 9GAG.
It's like an app on your phone.
Imager. Okay. You know?
I bet you anything that the little shh.
That thing?
That thing, it doesn't work either.
You're making a lot of noises.
The little scanner thing, the new one they have where you gotta.
You know, should be the identifying factor in every single airport, just based on their noises. The beep beep.
Beep. I thought that was pretty universal. Beep beep equals scanning the boarding pass. Equals I'm looking at your junk.
Yeah.
That's what I mean. I thought that was universal.
I didn't see what you meant.
Yeah, right? I didn't make anything up.
And then the noise for TSA would be secret Muslim.
Oh, right? All right, on that note, we're going to
What was this old lady's name again?
It was
Marilyn something or another.
Marilyn Hartman.
Hartman.
Oh, my God.
And she is our patroness.
And she's just living in homeless shelters all wherever she happens to travel.
She's even better.
She's not, living that nomadic lifestyle.
She's a little crazy, but she's actually literally homeless and she was able to do this.
Grandma Mary.
I like her. So I hope there's a GoFundMe for her or something.
Let's set up something.
Yeah, if there's a GoFundMe, someone let us know because we'll promote it on the podcast. I'd like to see her live comfortably because she's proved the truth.
Yes.
She proved the lie that was TSA.
I'm an old white lady. No one gives a shit.
Someone let us know, because if there is, we are definitely going to support her GoFundMe.
I traveled with a box cutter in my carry-on once.
Diz wanted to take us out.
Yes.
I remember you telling me that.
I did, yeah.
Yeah, we told us on the air, and we said if it was one of us, we'd be murdered. Yeah. You can find us on Facebook, facebook.com/currentlynerdy. We're on Twitter, @currentlynerdy. On Instagram, @currentlynerdy. On the Tumblr, currentlynerdy.tumblr.com. On YouTube, search Currently Nerdy. We're also on Google Play, Stitcher, and iTunes. Please rate, review, subscribe, and give us a 5-star rating. And if you want to get a hold of us individually, you can. V, how can I get a hold of you?
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at VTran214. That's VYTRAN214. You can also find me on my websites at 7crossroads.com. That's the number 7crossroads.com. That's my travel site. You motherfuckers need to help me out because I am broke as shit and I need success in my travel blog. So maybe I can start paying for flights instead of being an old white lady trying to get through the TSA. Yep. Now find me on my food blog at thesandwichslayer.com. Ali?
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at AAOLOMI. Or on our sister podcast, Head on History. I just completed the last episode of the season. We broke last season's record. So thank you to everyone who tuned in. Be sure to check that out. Give it your reviews and ratings.
That's true. And tell us about how you liked the cliffhanger he left it on.
Yeah. Well, that was on cliffhanger.
Well, I'm trying to get them to listen to the fucking podcast.
Whatever. Or catch me on my website, alialomi.com. Diz.
You can find me everywhere at Dizbulla, DizBullah.
For everyone here at Currently Nerdy, thank you for tuning in. And remember, stay smart, sexy nerds.
And we love you, especially if you're an old homeless white lady sneaking on the planes.